And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Just paying some bills. Oh, is that me? Okay. Sorry. This is the weirdest sound.
You all right?
Wait a minute. Are you, like, changing my levels right now? This is so wild.
I just turned you up a little bit, yes, because okay. You were very low.
It was like, but in my headphones, it was like I was speaking to myself in the Grand Canyon. It was very interesting. But sorry, I'm just paying some bills right now.
That's good.
You know, like I like to do when we do a show, and sort of sitting here doing, you know, chores and bills and
that's
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing adulting.
Great. Hey, yeah, early, exactly. Though, because it's the 30th.
That's right.
That's the thing. There's some stuff. Yeah, there's some stuff.
You were like the 16th last time. You're like, yeah, there's a grace period. I'm good.
Well, so no, but that was the mortgage, but there's other stuff that's like the end of the month / beginning.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but yeah, the mortgage, go right to the middle of the month there.
That's right.
Even though it's due on the first.
It's all right.
Yeah, it counts. It, no late fees.
Yeah, it counts. Michelle, how are we doing? What's going on?
Living the dream. Doing good. You know, waking up this morning, seeing that you and I got some points on Pick to Click.
We did.
And someone didn't.
NSC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Randall Liao with a goal last night. Hani Mukhtar with a goal last night. CJ Sapong, oops.
No goal.
No goal.
Thanks a lot, CJ. And tough draw for Nashville SC.
Get up 2-0 at home. You want to close that one out.
Give up that goal in stoppage time.
Yep.
Still in second place in the East.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to be fine. But
Yeah. And Mukhtar, what you know, it's the MVP. Like, where is he in the MVP landscape? My gosh.
I know.
He's had a year.
He's been unbelievable. And he scores on a rebound last night off of penalty kick. And it was just, you see him, he puts another one in the back of the net, and you're like, just old hat now. Every game, Mukhtar's fine in the back of the net. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I've got to think he's somewhere in there,
he's
right?
He's got to be up there. Yeah. The official standings now in NSC Pick to Click. The listeners at 7. Michelle at 4. Robbie Stanley at 3. Joe Rex Road at 2.
Wah, wah. Well, it's almost time for Preds Pick to Click, right?
It is. We're getting closer.
Better at that. Although I was better at that with boy Cali, so.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. That might be rough, too.
You're going to see him, though, early in the season.
That's true.
He'll be here soon.
That is right. Can we pick players on the other team?
Well, maybe so. Maybe we'll change the rules this year. You will have the first pick in our next edition of NSC Pick to Click.
Hani Mukhtar. I want right now. Just put it down.
Just put it down.
That's going to be the one game he doesn't score in.
Yeah.
Yeah, or like he won't play that night
right.
Or something. Yeah. But I don't care. Hani Mukhtar.
Been a tough go of it.
It has been.
Wayne on Twitter, who makes fun of me all the time about my pick to click, start making fun of Rex Road because I've moved ahead of him.
It's only fair.
That's right. It's time to switch your target.
I mean, I've been on 2 for a while.
Yeah.
Quite a while.
We'll see what happens on that front. See if Rex Road can make up any ground. NSC Pick to Click brought to you by Camarena Tequila. Isaiah Wilson, back in the NFL, Joe Rex Road, kind of. Isaiah Wilson, the former first-round pick for the Titans, signing with the New York Giants practice squad on Wednesday. This, I believe, first reported by Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. But Isaiah Wilson, we talked about it last week, had tryout / workout with the Colts, and now is a part of the New York Giants practice squad. So there's a lot of former Titans on this New York Giants organization. You got Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, now Isaiah Wilson in there as well.
And obviously the incredible coaching support of Jeremy Pruitt,
yes.
Derek Dooley.
If anybody can develop
Judge alone.
Yeah, if anybody can develop Isaiah Wilson, it's either Derek Dooley or Jeremy Pruitt. That's probably what they're doing now in their spare time.
Joe, well, first of all, hey, in all seriousness, I understand that, like, if Isaiah Wilson becomes a good player in this league, Titans fans are going to be very upset. And I totally understand.
Sure.
But, frankly, I'm glad to see that he's gotten himself to the point where he could get signed to a practice squad. Because, few months ago, it wasn't going in a good direction.
Nope.
So it'll be interesting to watch. I don't know if it's great to be back home. Sometimes that can actually be more distraction and stuff, you know, New York City. But
yep.
Hopefully it works out for them on the human level. On the Titans fan level, well, it'll be another thing to be all mad about if all of a sudden Isaiah Wilson's like a 10-year, you know, Pro Bowl right tackle. He has talent.
He does.
It's purely about what he's doing on a daily basis with his life.
It is, and, you know, it's one thing to be on the practice squad, but is there a point, maybe even this year, where he could be elevated? Look, this just in, the Giants aren't very good, and they don't block very well either. They don't do a lot of things very well. And who knows? Maybe if Isaiah Wilson can keep it going, he can carve out a role for himself on that team.
I don't know. I was kind of surprised, you know, to even see that he was up for – you know, tryouts for teams, but clearly he's had some, he's had some turnarounds here.
It says the Giants worked out 11 players on Tuesday. The team is looking for help on the offensive line after losing Nick Gates for the season. So, we'll see.
There you go.
Maybe he could play Sunday.
Who do they play Sunday?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Whether he plays or not, I'm just going to guess they lose.
I'm going to guess that they probably do, too.
Which New York team will win first?
I don't know. If you're a Titans fan, you're hoping it's not the Jets. They've got the Saints coming up on Sunday, by the way.
Yeah, which who knows what the heck is up with them. What about New Jersey?
I said New Jersey. They're in New Jersey. Everyone's like, we're going to New York.
Oh, did Robbie just say in New York?
No.
No, he said New York team, but I still just had to.
Well.
I know, guys. It is just one
Look,
of
Chicago's
my...
about to apparently be out of the Soldier Field.
That is so stupid.
Yes.
That can't happen, right? I'd like to get Corey Curtis's thought. I mean, that's so dumb. Soldier Field is right on Lake Michigan. It's a weird-looking stadium now that they've put a spaceship on top of it. But,
yeah.
Oh, man. Hate that.
They bought some property. I mean, you could still see the skyline of Chicago from it, but it's a little bit of a ways out there. It's not really Chicago where the Bears have bought this property.
That's just brutal. Wait, what if the Titans move to, like, Thompson Station?
You know? The Nolansville Titans.
That'd be a nice little commute for you.
Nice for me. Just walk to work. Actually, all right, let's do it. Put it right by the
See
brewery.
If we can't get on that. Yeah.
Right next to the brewery.
Yeah, there you go. We got some room out there.
Just the triangle of where Rex Road walks in Nolansville. The sports park, the brewery, Titan Stadium.
There you go. And home.
We'll see if we can't get to work on that. You ever think we'll see a day where the Giants and the Jets play in two different stadiums?
They used to.
I know.
Because I'm trying to think. It used to be, the Jets used to play in Shea. It was the Mets and the Jets in Shea. And the Giants were alone in the Meadowlands. Like the Giants. Yeah, so it used to be that they were the New Jersey team and the Jets were the real New York team.
That's right.
In Flushing. But I don't know. It seems like they've got a pretty good, you know, JOA, joint operating agreement there. Would that be like, would fans, like is that something that like fans actively want of both those teams?
Probably not.
I mean, they kind of, you know, you having to share kind of sucks, right? Like if you hate, especially if you hate the team that you're sharing it with.
Yeah.
And you know that they're going to paint that end zone Giants when you're a Jets fan and you
I guess
hate
it would be
Giants.
Different though if like one of them was more like superior. Whereas they're both just kind of
garbage.
But yeah. Now they are. But
now,
the Giants, you know,
they've won a few
Giants
Super Bowls.
They've been a much better franchise.
Yeah,
I mean the Jets, boy, Vinny Testaverde, you know, Rex Ryan,
Chad Pennington
had a little minute there. Yeah, there you go. I mean, I go back to, the New York Sack Exchange. You know, Mark Gastineau and Joe Klecko and those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they were awesome in the early 80s. But they still never did anything in the playoffs.
Sanchez coming in there with the butt fumble. It's been a heck of a time for the Jets.
Yeah, yeah. So, but now they both suck. So at least Jets fans can take heart in that.
Are they? So obviously we know the Lions are at the bottom of the list. Are the Jets worse off than the Jaguars in terms of just franchise-wise right now? They're a total dumpster fire.
So are you talking about right now as they're operating, or are you talking about historically?
right now?
I don't know.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because obviously now the Jags have cleaned house again.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if that's going to be for the better.
I don't know either. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. It looks a little bit flimsy. That's a good question. I mean, the funny thing is with the Lions, you know, every once in a while you stumble into like a good hire. I actually think they have a good GM hire that they've made.
Good coach hire.
Well, hey, I mean, he's going to be good for all of us, whether he's actually a good coach or not.
Yeah.
He may be. He might be a good coach. I don't know. But he's going to be good for all of us. If he's the worst coach in the league, best coach in the league, it's about entertainment.
Give me more Dan Campbell.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be a pure joy for however long that lasts.
Yeah.
But that's ownership. So what's worse? Like, I don't know. Whose ownership is worse, Jets or Jags? Because the Giants' ownership has been very effective.
Correct.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
It's not a good spot to
be
in.
Shad Khan has talked about moving them to London.
Yeah.
So. But that's kind of dying down, right?
I think so. That'd be a heck of a travel for the AFC South in London. You'd have to switch those up.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you make that work?
There was some real momentum though to try to figure all that out. So
I'm hoping that's gone by the wayside.
Yeah. But if anyone could do it, just move away. No one would care. It'd be the Jags.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some bad news on the injury front yesterday for the Titans as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Support Stars on Saturday, October 16th by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and you can also show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. And Joe Rex Road, it was not very good news yesterday for the Tennessee Titans on the injury report. And we talked about it in the middle of the show yesterday. Ian Rappaport coming out and saying that Julio Jones was dealing with a leg injury, and that immediately makes your mind start to wonder when you factor in leg injury. Mike Vrabel's talking about tightness, and you and I wondered, could that mean hamstring? And turns out that means hamstring. Julio Jones is on the injury report, did not practice with a hamstring injury, and Joe, as we talked about yesterday, that was the injury that Julio Jones had last year that caused him to miss most of that season. So not good news on that front, and now I think pretty likely that the Titans could be without Julio Jones and A.J. Brown coming up on Sunday against the Jets.
I would just, right now, just count them both out. If either of them play Sunday, I'll be very surprised. And, yeah, neither of them were out there yesterday. And it's the same thing we've been talking about with A.J. The difference being, you know, that there's more of a history with Julio Jones and the hamstring. Obviously, last year, he played 9, so I think it cost him 7.
Yep.
Because, you know, they played 16 games like they should every year last year.
And
we've talked about this, but he said he came back too early also and aggravated it. But, again, too early. The problem is you can say after the fact, yeah, I came back too early, but I bet you he got cleared, you know.
Yep.
And that's the problem with the hamstring is, unlike the knee, the ankle, or whatever else, it's like, okay, you can look at it and say, yep, that's healed. You're good. Go for it. For whatever reason, you know, the hamstrings, there can be really like no indication, but you know you've done it before, and then up, you pull up again. So all you can do is rest it and you know, do whatever they can do to try to, you know, help them heal. But at some point, they're just going to go out there and test them out and hope it doesn't happen again.
Yep, and honestly, if I'm a Titans fan, I'm hoping that's not this week. I would much rather be too cautious with this, with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, than too aggressive. Like, if they miss out on a week that they could have played, I would much rather have that than coming back too early, if I'm a Titans fan.
So if this was last week, do you feel the same way? Like, if this was the Colts game this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one game, and you don't want what could be a 1 or 2 week situation to turn into a 12-week situation because you try to come back too early. So I'm with you. Like, if either one of those two guys is on the practice field this week or plays, I'll be very surprised.
So now you can review, first of all, everything that's happened since Sunday. And I got a little more clarity. You know, I think what happened Sunday, I mean, you have to report player injuries. But I think, like, if Julio had the little tweak of it earlier in the game, then it would have come up. You know, Julio, hamstring, questionable, and like everybody else. It was just late in the game, and I think there was some kind of a miscommunication or something. But bottom line is, something happened. They said, okay, we're not going to mess with it. And then we had just, you know, Vrabel not being willing to just say that until he finally did say it, basically, on Monday. And now it all adds up together. I have seen some people say, so now they're pretending for him to be hurt.
It's an interesting take.
Yes, yes, quite interesting. Titans Instagram. Titans Insta is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing conspiracy theorist. But, yeah, it was all really not that big of a deal, other than it is a big deal that now your best two players on the outside and a big foundation for your offense, you know, they're both ailing with the same thing, and it's just one of those very unpredictable and at times just very frustrating lingering injuries.
I guess if you're a Titans fan, and it's kind of two different categories to me. One is AJ, who's largely dealt with knee problems here. Hamstring has not been much of an issue for AJ Brown. And then there's Julio, who had a hamstring injury a year ago. And, you know, at 32 years old, you start to worry about that a little bit more with soft tissue injuries in terms of how long it's going to take him to get back and get back to full speed. I kind of view these two situations that without knowing the extent of how damaged A.J. Brown's hamstring is and how damaged Julio Jones' hamstring is, from purely an age standpoint, this is concerning to me about Julio Jones.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's – I guess the, you know, the timing could be as good as it possibly could be.
Could be.
Because if you don't have him this week, which I just don't think there's any way, and then if you don't have him even at Jacksonville – and with both of them, I think you get through those games and be fine. But yeah, is he going to be ready to rock for Buffalo and Kansas City and the Rams and all these huge games? Well, those games, I don't know that you can make it work with Batson and company. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need Julio Jones and AJ Brown for those games. I don't know that you're necessarily going to need them for the Jets and the Jags. Now, having said that, I mean, we keep saying that. This is the NFL. This is not like college football where the Titans are just going to roll in there and hang up 58 and just walk out because they're the Titans and they're playing against the Jets. And I think we all know that. But I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility for the Titans to walk in on Sunday with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and the weapons they still do have offensively and get the job done. I have a much tougher time believing that when the Bills roll in and when the Chiefs roll in. That's going to be a little bit of a different story in my mind.
Yeah, and also, how much of a big deal did we make out of, you know, all the time that they missed together practicing? Well, here's more time that they're not going to be working on their timing, you know? So, and I think that's the same. I think all of it is less of a concern with AJ than with Julio. But because AJ and I think AJ Brown and Ryan Tannehill will pick right up whenever they start playing together again. But with Julio, you know, you're kind of building something. You could see it. You could see it in Seattle. You could see it in the first half against the Colts.
Yep.
And now you could take that time off, and you know, you can take mental reps, and that's all fine. But that's, you know, it's very possible that then you're going to have another little ramp up time when he comes back.
Mental reps.
Mental reps, baby.
Just had a nice Butch Jones flashback with that one. Appreciate that. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ben texting in, the NFL Network predicts that the Titans will only dress four receivers Sunday and that Reynolds won't be one of them either. So apparently the NFL Network is making predictions.
The NFL Network is making, like, active roster predictions midweek? Wow.
I guess
they They do a lot of stuff. They're a very busy network, man. Jeez.
Look, you got a lot of stuff you got to talk about. A lot of football.
Yeah.
You just got to fill up some time, man.
Yeah. Are there like odds on this? Is there a sports book that has this somewhere? Like how many active receivers will the Titans have Sunday?
We'll have to find
out. That would be surprising to me, in all seriousness.
Four?
Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. How many outside linebackers will they have?
Nah, that's a great question. It's a great question. Which, by the way, on that front, Bud Dupree did not practice on Wednesday. I don't think that's a huge surprise.
Has not yet, yeah. Has not yet practiced on a Wednesday. So today with Bud Dupree will be a little bit more potentially telling. You would like to see limited, at least, from him today. If you're a Titans fan, if you're the Titans. But, yeah, Wednesday has been no-go for him already. So
Was some good news, I think, on the injury front yesterday. And we'll get to wide receiver and tight end coming up here in just a few minutes. But Christian Fulton, with an ankle injury, limited participant yesterday, he did address the media as well. So, you know, we talked yesterday about how important it is to get him back out there and be available and whether or not he's ready to be the number one corner for this team. If he can go Sunday, that's pretty big news for this group.
Yep. Now, I'm still – this has happened before.
Yep.
Where players say, I'm going to be good, and they're not – I mean, Jayon Brown talked on Friday about how excited he was to play in that game. And then on Saturday, we find out that he's out. So, it doesn't – you know, it's funny. Like, this is another thing where – from a media perspective, it's different in college football than in pro football. Of course, in college football, it's so – sparse anyway, but they would injured players never made available, you know, like if there's anything going on. And in the NFL, they are, so sometimes, you know, they may be more optimistic than reality. But the fact that he was limited participation, seemed to be moving around fine, that bodes well. And yes, they need him in every game. And I think in a game like this, you know, if you're losing, you're missing key players like that, you know, you can't be all over the lineup riddled with people missing. So they need him for this game. I mean, they have a chance to, I think, probably get some turnovers in this game. A huge emphasis for this defense. Seems like a good opponent to maybe try to improve those numbers. As Mike Vrabel pointed out to everybody, David Questenberry leads the team in forced fumbles.
Probably not good.
So that's a good – I'm sure he's saying that all over the building.
I'm sure he is.
So that would be big for them to have Fulton for sure. And just it's just again it's like Lawan, whether he's real good the first week back or whatever, whenever you see a key guy like that and it looks like maybe there's, you know, a significant injury, clearly, you know, it's in fact, was he on the what did it say on the report? He just like twist his ankle.
Yeah, it just says ankle.
Yeah, so it's an ankle. It's one of those things that, I mean, that's because you never know. That was kind of a nasty little pileup in the middle of the field. Then he was kind of in and out of the game from there. So that is good news.
Did not expect to see Brett Kern on the injury report. Limited participant. Right groin injury.
Right groin. I don't remember NFL injury reports telling us right or left on the groin. But they're getting either. More specific.
It's the right part of the groin.
Yeah, well, it used to just be groin. Yes. But now it's right or left groin. So Brett Kern hasn't been amazing this year. And so you wonder, has he been a little bit bothered by that?
Well, hopefully he can still punt, because we saw last year what happens when Brett Kern can't punt.
Yeah, it can be very bad for this team.
Very, very bad. Jayon Brown, a full participant yesterday with hamstring injury, so the good news on that front. Taylor Lewan did not practice yesterday with a toe injury.
A new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not great.
No.
You know, the Titans, although I certainly like their defensive matchup here, based on what we've seen from the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets have a lot of talent on D. So punting will be part of the game for the Titans. You know, then without those receivers, I mean, this could be a bit of a slog Sunday.
That'll be great. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
What's the announcing crew for this beauty?
I think it's Greg Gumbel.
Really?
Adam Archuleta, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think so.
Kind of a big crew then.
Maybe so.
That's got to be because of the Titans, right?
I would hope so. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back, including some good news at tight end and wide receiver for the Titans yesterday. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Able to go as deep when one or two guys are maybe on the injury report?
Well, I think what we try to do is try to insulate ourselves everywhere for a lot of things that come up. I mean, player availability fluctuates throughout the season. And so hopefully, you know, that everybody that shows up for meetings and comes to practice can understand that they could potentially have a role.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday at his press conference, preaching the importance of depth and that everyone should be ready. That was very similar to the comments he had after the game in the locker room on Sunday in those cool videos the Titans come out with. Vrabel very consistent.
Next man up.
That's right. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter. This is Eric in Cookeville. I was looking yesterday to see who had the most points this year and the least. The Jets are in a league of their own with 20 points in three games. Definitely a good week to nurse some injuries. Rex Road, this is setting up very nicely for a Zach Wilson coming out party in the NFL.
Kind of.
Everybody expects them to just get absolutely destroyed.
Kind of reminds me of Cincinnati last year. Titans going in there. That should be an easy dub. Rookie quarterback, terrible offensive line with like all these injuries. He can't even stand in the pocket for 2 seconds. And he stood in there and had a day. So it does remind me a little bit of that.
I will say the weapons that Joe Burrow had at his disposal at wide receiver. No disrespect to Corey Davis, who we'll talk about here in just a minute.
Uh-huh.
Not quite the
or
same.
Or are you not? Or are you disrespecting Corey Davis?
Maybe slight disrespect to Corey Davis, but unintentional disrespect.
Yeah. That's true. Boy, that was a bad day. That was. I will say that, you know, again, Tannehill hasn't had a lot of turnovers at all, a lot of bad turnovers. That was a bad pick early in that game, you know, that really flipped the game around.
Also, another one of those games, because I remember how much we talked about it after, where that defense just robbing Derrick Henry of yardage last year. He could have ran for 350 yards in that game.
That's right. He could have gone absolutely nuts, but they were behind the whole day. Yeah, that's a good point. Jimmy Lawrence on Twitter, why do you ask about injuries when you know he doesn't say anything and doesn't want you asking? That's a great question, Jimmy. We should go and say, coach, I'm sorry, coach. You don't like that? we'll just sit here quietly then.
Hey,
thank you, coach.
What would you like to talk about today, coach? Coach me up, coach.
Oh, Jimmy, come on, man.
You mean you're not in there doing the bidding of Vrabel every time that you go to the press conference? You're not just like going down a checklist of what he wants to talk about?
Look, here's the thing. He doesn't get asked about injuries that much anyway.
Exactly.
He really doesn't because it is known. I mean, if it was different, he would get asked more. And we all know that. I mean, like yesterday, I think Teresa tried to ask about one of the receivers, and you know, he basically, injury report coming later. I mean, that's fine. But like the Julio Jones situation, we didn't know what it was.
Yep.
We're trying to find out what is going on. So that's a situation where the easy answer that just prevents all this stupid conspiracy theorizing and speculating and everything is just the truth of what it is. And that's all you had to do.
Yeah.
So it's not a situation where, well, here's an injury, but don't ask about it. It's like, what is going on? There was no injury designation given in the game. What are we supposed to do? So, Jimmy, would you like us to ask questions or not? I welcome you, Jimmy, coming in if you like to pipe in, because I know sometimes, you know, fans don't like the questions we ask. I welcome, you know, you can type up the exact question you'd like to ask, and I will take it under consideration.
Sure.
Put it on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That could be your next mailbag at The Athletic. Just send me questions to ask.
That's a good idea.
That would be very interesting, actually. Send me questions you want to ask Vrabel.
But the question, so Jimmy is
90% of them.
Well, so great. Jimmy's on the side of like, how dare you question my coach, you know. But then there's also the, you better hold their feet to the fire. Like when the Titans lost game one. And it's like, so what would you like me to ask? Like, should I ask, will you be fired or are you quitting today?
Right.
You know?
Got a lot of that with the
Preds,
too.
Will you ever play Taylor Lewan another snap in his career?
A lot of looking around at the Preds and being like, to me and Vengen, hey,
You should hold David Poyle's feet to the fire. He should be fired. Well, okay, what would you like me to do about that?
Well, the Poyle, the one that gets me, and there's actually one specific commenter on The Athletic whenever I write about the Preds, and he's always like, you know, you guys ask David Poyle the tough questions, but then you accept his answers. And I'm like, so what am I supposed
David,
to grab
David, that's not
him?
Good enough.
Yeah.
No, I want the truth, David.
I mean, what are you supposed to do? We need like a fantasy camp.
Ugh. It's good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, what were we going to talk about?
Well, some good news on the Titans. They did have some good news on the injury front yesterday offensively. Anthony Firkser back out there, a full participant in practice with a knee injury. Marcus Johnson on the practice field yesterday as well. So potentially some good news on that front for the Titans.
I got some awesome video of Marcus Johnson.
Yeah, you did.
It's at Joe Rexford on Twitter if you'd like to check it out. It's about 1.8 seconds of him going through a drill. But, you know, they've got Des Fitzpatrick in 88 also. So I'm like, wait a minute. Who's the real 88? But Des Fitzpatrick.
That's sneaky.
Right. Des Fitzpatrick has red Louisville cleats on. It's always a good telltale sign.
Louisville.
As I was told yesterday at practice. But he looked good out there, and Firkser looked like he was moving pretty well, and that's in both cases. That could be very timely and significant. I asked Tannehill about this yesterday, about Firkser, because, look, here's the thing with the tight end situation. I mean, Pruitt has made some nice catches for sure. He's had some big moments. Swaim's got involved a little bit. Like, when Firkser's in the game, you know, there's going to be some plays where he's the first read. Like, he's going to be kind of like that slot receiver.
Yep.
And they haven't had that. Now, Chester Rogers has been the slot receiver, and he's done some things, but it's a big deal. I understand anybody who wants to kind of dismiss, you know, Firkser's about to be a superstar tight end, that's fine. But he is far and away the most important receiver in the tight end room, and he and Tannehill have a very good connection. So him coming back is probably a bigger deal than people realize, even in the context of the receivers missing. And then Marcus Johnson, guy can run. The guy is, if he's through whatever he had here, because we don't have, we don't have specifics on IR, but if he's through that, I thought all along, like, that's your number three receiver.
By the way, still no sign of Darrington Evans. So he gets hurt in the first preseason game against Atlanta, and still nowhere to be found.
So you're talking now almost 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good.
So, right. And it's not good. Now, I would not expect it to be season-ending, but – yeah, at what point is he ready, and then at what point, what can he provide? Jeremy McNichols has found himself in the right spot.
He has.
You know, because the opportunity is going to be here for him, and he's taking advantage of it.
I had one of my buddies text me yesterday and ask me if if Darrington Evans reminds me of the Adoree Jackson situation last year, where he's just hurt the whole year and eventually comes back at some point, but it's like week 15 when he's back. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I think in Adoree's case, there was pretty clearly a setback somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you could say that about Darrington Evans at this point.
Yeah, right. I mean, with Adoree, he was close, he's close, he's close. Oh, no. He's close, he's close. Yeah, so that was also in Adoree's situation. They desperately needed him to start and, like, be their best corner, you know? And with Darrington Evans, I do think he brings another dimension. If he's ever out there running like I know he can run and cutting and doing the things, he's explosive. If he's ever out there, I think he'll make a difference, but it seems further and further away with each year that he doesn't really play. We'll see.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake from Dixon texting in. I won some soccer tickets like a week ago, and my buddy and I went last night. Even bet the tie, and they ended up tying in the 90th minute. We had a blast and even made a little money. Thank you all for what y'all do. I listen every day.
Nice.
Way to go, Jake. Appreciate
good
you listening.
Jake. Good crowds. Actually, last night I was like, you know, we should have, like, planned as a family to go to this game.
Yeah.
We couldn't have, with practices and whatever. But, like, that, you know, I like the midweek.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like with weekends, obviously, for, like, you know, for my job or whatever, it's impossible.
Right.
But the weeknights seemed like they had a pretty good crowd last night.
Speaking of Nashville SC, ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in this Sunday as Nashville SC takes on New York City. The pregame starts at 10:45 and the match begins at 11. When we come back, a little bit of a salty press conference yesterday from Corey Davis regarding his time with the Tennessee Titans. We'll get into that coming up next. Also have some tickets to give away as well. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Be calling number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October the 2nd. So make sure you dial in right now. Be caller number 5. Joe, some interesting comments yesterday at Corey Davis's media availability with the Jets. Obviously, Corey Davis going to be a focal point of that Jets offense coming into the game on Sunday against the Titans. He has been their best wide receiver so far, which that offense has not gone very well, but Corey Davis at times has played very well so far this year. And he was asked yesterday about, obviously, the natural storyline of going up against his old team, and was asked if the Titans were interested in re-signing him, and Davis, his response was, quote, "No, sir." The follow-up was, "Did that bother you?" And Davis said, "A little bit. I'm not going to lie to you." So are you surprised that, according to Corey Davis, the Titans did not show any interest in re-signing him?
Not really. And I'll go back to, my Nick Westbrook Aquina story that people just absolutely love still. Is Garcia going to apologize to me at some point? I'm just wondering. I'm ready for that. Next time we have him on, we'll have to.
You just wait till Monday morning when we come in, and the first thing we're talking about is a Nick Westbrook Aquina 15 reception, 192 yard performance.
Yeah, there you go. Well, look, again, I didn't write it in that piece, but a very good source in the organization, to paraphrase, said, you know, we think that, like, Nick Westbrook Akinney can do a lot of the same things that he did. Now, I was not told he is as good as Corey Davis. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I was told. But I guess the impression I got was, we're not paying that much money for Corey Davis. Good player who, we talked about this a ton last year, he benefited from what was around him. You know, I think it's unfair to look at Tannehill and say, well, you have Derrick Henry, you know, whatever else you want to say. This year, A.J. Brown and Julio, although now he won't for a while, and say, well, you know, good. Anybody could do that. No, you're an NFL quarterback, like, you know, that's not how it works. But it does kind of work that way sometimes. You know, if you're sort of the secondary receiver with the best running back in the league and then a rising top 10-ish receiver on the other side, that, you know, you're going to have some really nice situations. Corey Davis, I think the only thing that kind of surprises me about them not really trying to at least look into it is that I do think, as a blocker, I mean, you know, Mike Vrabel loves blocking, right?
He does.
I mean, come on. That guy, I mean, seriously, yeah. He was a really excellent blocker and was a part of some of those big Derrick Henry runs. Yeah. Physical guy, but a physical football player.
Oh yeah,
and he's a good player. He's going to have a good year for the Jets, but is he worth paying that much money to? I mean, there. Of course, I'm sitting here saying I'd much rather pay a few million more for a Julio Jones. Now, right now, he's not active, but even in the limited bursts we've seen of Julio Jones, like in Seattle. That's not Corey Davis.
No.
So, it's the same thing with Jack Conklin. Like, I've even said, you know, revisionist history. What if they paid Conklin? They wouldn't have drafted Wilson. They wouldn't have drafted Raiders, all this stuff. But it is still a lot of money for a right tackle. Like, you'd rather have the young, cheap, maybe not as good, but young and cheap right tackle than pay a ton of money for both of your tackles. I mean, you have to make these decisions, and more often than not, the decision is going to be not to pay the guy. So it's not that big of a surprise. Again, no one said that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is as good as Corey Davis. He's not as good as Corey Davis. He's not going to, at any point, I don't believe, in the NFL, like produce like Corey Davis. But Corey Davis is also a solid number two receiver in the NFL. So I wouldn't pay eight figures to a solid number two receiver in the NFL.
No, and that's what I wonder. You know, was there any conversation at all? Because Corey Davis makes it seem like the Titans basically at the end of the season said, good luck, have fun in free agency. I do wonder if there was a phone call or at least a conversation between John Robinson and Corey Davis's agent, and they told him the price that they were looking for, and John Robinson said, okay, well, have fun, buddy.
Maybe. I mean, they probably had an idea because, I mean, that's what the market is. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Jayon Brown last year. Titans love Jayon Brown. Of course they do. It's huge that they have him this year, even though he hasn't been able to play lately. It's going to end up big. And I think Jayon Brown and David Long together, I'm really interested to see if that's at some point what happens, how that looks. But they were just resigned to letting him go.
Yep.
Jonnu Smith hasn't started out great for him in New England.
It has not.
I still think he's got a ton to offer, but kind of the same thing. Like, what are you going to do? I mean, that's all we talked about early in the offseason is like, which of the three, if any, would you try to pay? And the answer was none.
Yeah.
So, the thing with Corey Davis, beyond he's a good player, not a great player. He's not a top five pick. We saw that pretty early. He is a physical. He fits this offense really well. Also, he was great in the locker room. Corey Davis is a great guy.
Yeah.
And there, you won't find anyone on this team or in this building who would say otherwise. And that's tough to, you know, to say goodbye to people like. But you say the same thing about Conklin, and it's like, well, price tag, salary cap, can't do it. Pretty simple.
Yep. So we'll see if this could be the Corey Davis revenge tour game coming up on Sunday. I would imagine he's going to get a lot of targets because, quite frankly, I don't know who else they'll be throwing the ball to. Elijah Moore, by the way, did not practice yesterday with a concussion. So I would say it's probably unlikely that Elijah Moore is going to play this week.
So, and that's the thing, too. I swear Elijah Moore had a stat. Someone was saying he hasn't played yet. Is that true?
I don't know.
I thought that Elijah Moore had played a little bit. But, if they're missing him, and I Elijah Moore, I really do think –
He's going to be a good player.
Yeah, he's played. No, he's played. I don't know what happened. Is that what knocked him out then? Concussion last game? I thought he got knocked out last game.
Yeah. And did not participate in practice yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a concussion. I guess you can get through protocol at some point. So, I don't guess he's totally out for this week, but it's not looking good.
Well, and Jamison Crowder's out. I mean, yeah. Jamison Crowder, who I think a lot of people – yeah, so Elijah Moore has 8 catches, 66 yards.
Yeah.
Hasn't done a ton. He's going to, I absolutely believe he's going to be good. But that would be good for the Titans if they don't have to deal with him. And if it's like Corey Davis and the Coreyettes on Sunday, be interesting to see what they do in terms of defensing him. But, this is a game where you need to get some turnovers here, the Titans. Take advantage of Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence and start turning the turnover thing around.
Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texting in, McNichols is playing very well right now. Would not be surprised to see him as the running back two, even if Evans comes back and plays well. Like I would be. Like if Darrington Evans is fully healthy, I probably would be surprised to see Jeremy McNichols as the number two running back.
There's a pretty significant gap in terms of playmaking, speed, explosiveness. There's a pretty – I mean, again, that's why they spent a high pick on Evans. And I swear, this is one of those things like people are like, well, I haven't seen this crap. What are you talking about? I swear to you, Darrington Evans is a very talented guy. So it's not close. Now, the one thing I will say to that, though, is very trustworthy.
Yep.
Is Jeremy McNichols, which is why he's here. I mean, and if you can trust someone to always know the protection and to get the job done in pass pro when you need it, That's a big deal. And that's with Darrington Evans, kind of TBD. I know it's certainly been since he's been here. That's a huge point of emphasis, and by all accounts, he's worked hard and has figured it out. But that would be the only way that Jeremy McNichols would be ahead of a healthy Darrington Evans.
Let's go back to the text line. Got a texture that says, the same people talking about y'all asking stupid questions are the same people booing LaJuan after coming back off ACL surgery. Pay them no attention.
Well, I can't pay them no attention. I can't mute everyone.
I've muted a lot of people.
I do mute a lot of people, though.
It's a wonderful.
Muting is fantastic.
I do wonder sometimes, like on Twitter,
how many people are
yelling at me into the abyss, and they just don't know that I don't see it.
I mean, no doubt. Like a huge – it'd be kind of cool if they had a function where you could just – it's almost like a black light. like in a hotel room, you put the black light, I don't look at this. You know? Like if you did a black light on your Twitter mentions, like, oh, my God.
That's okay. What I was missing.
Get me out of here.
Right. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick the three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. When we come back, the much-anticipated return of Tom Brady taking place this weekend. A lot of talking going on right now. Anticipation of this game, got a book coming out, spilling all the old Patriot secrets, conveniently timed for this week when Tom Brady's coming back. It's fun stuff looking ahead to Brady and Belichick. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.